Book of Mark, chapter number 4. Mark 4, we'll start reading in verse number 21. Just a few verses here that we're going to read, but some great truths found in here. Mark 4, 21. And he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much. Thank you for, Lord, a beautiful day outside. And I do thank you for safety, for everyone coming in here under this roof. And I pray that your word go out in a mighty way. Lord, I pray that I not hinder your spirit or your word. I pray that I say only what you would have me to say. And that all of us, Lord, let your spirit work on our hearts as you see fit. And that we be responsive and tender to you, Lord. I do pray for the prayer requests that were asked. Meet each one according to your will. And if there's anyone in here who has never accepted you as their Savior, Lord, that is the greatest need that anyone could ever have, is the need of salvation. And I pray that you meet that need tonight, that they recognize their need for a Savior and come to you, Lord, in true repentance and faith. And we know that you will save them. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So these few verses here comes directly after Jesus is finishing up the parable of the sower. If you see there, the first 20 verses of Mark chapter 4, all deals with the parable of the sower. And so finishing this up, Jesus then asks a simple question to his disciples about, you know, if you buy a candle, do you put it under a bushel or do you put it under a bed? Or what's the purpose of a candle? Do you put it under something or do you rather put it on a candlestick? Now, it may seem to be a pretty unrelated question compared to what he was just talking about with the sower. But he was, with this question, he was really letting the disciples know the responsibility that he was giving to them. Again, he had just finished up the parable of the sower, and he's saying, look, you guys now are getting the seed of the Word of God. And now you are getting this candle, if you will, the light that's supposed to shine in the world. Now what are you going to do with it? Are you going to let your light so shine before men as he commanded on the Sermon on the Mount? What are you going to do with it? Now you have received this candle from God. Now what do you do with it? Are you going to put it under a bushel? Are you going to hide it under a bed? Or are you going to put it on a candlestick so that it will be of use to you and use to those around you and provide light to this dark world, this dying world? And he continues and gives another illustration with what measure ye meet and it shall be measured unto you, almost like giving out grain. And whatever you have been given, you are supposed to give out as well. A great, great truth here found. Now, we all know people who are what we would call hoarders. You know, they'll pick up any piece of, you know, if it says free on the side of the road, they're picking it up regardless if they need it or if even they think they need it. They're going to go ahead and pick it up. You know, we kind of provide some amusement to those of us who know them. You know, it is funny when you think about it, obviously, in material goods. And some people will fill acres and acres with just stuff or junk. And they'll say, well, you know, I'll use it sometime. And they'll keep it around 15, 20 years. And, they never actually get around to using it. It's a great source of amusement for those around them, or maybe a source of vexation, depending, I guess, on your outlook. We do a lot of the same thing in our Christian life. We have been given great responsibility. We've been given these great tools. God has given us maybe a candle, or if you want to look at it, give the illustration of many candles that we can be using to provide light to those around us. But instead, we just try to hoard them. We never decide to light the candle because it's going to burn down eventually, and then we're going to be stuck with nothing. So we hoard it like we're never going to get any more candles. We start to hoard what God has given to us, and that is not the purpose of a candle. A candle is not supposed to be stuck under a bed for storage for use later on, and with no with no thought of how well it could be used at this very moment. That is not the purpose of a candle. That is not the reason God has given us salvation, first of all, or the many truths or blessings that He has given to us. He has given that to us so that we can then use it for His glory and use it to help others, to distribute it to those around us. But so often, we become hoarders. And Brother Farr, obviously, he says he's not a hoarder, he's a conduit. He's just passing it along. And that's really, I thought of this when I was preparing this message, that's really what Christians need to be. If you want to look at it in terms of water, you can have the reservoir, which holds the water, and then you have the conduit, which will help the water flow to where it can be useful. And so the question today is, as in your Christian life, are you a reservoir, are you a hoarder, or are you a conduit, one that will distribute to others, that will help others with what God has given to you? It's a great question, one that we need to be asking ourselves really every day. What are we doing with what God has given to us? So we see a great responsibility, first of all, found in verses 21 through 23. And we see that God here, so let's focus on what we have been given. First of all, of course, salvation. And when you hear the verses, you know, the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, we think immediately of salvation, of how we're supposed to be a light in this world. We're supposed to point others to Christ. But how are we going to do that? It's by our good works, that men may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. These good works means you're using what God has given you in your life. You're using it to help others, or you're using it for God's glory. And so when people see that, they say, he's serving his Father, which is in heaven, that's when you are now a light to this world. That's when you have lighted your candle. When men can look at you and say, and give honor to God by your actions, by your life, by your good works. What has been given? Salvation, first of all, but then so many blessings. So we have been given the Word of God. And in this present day, we take that for granted. But just 200 or 300 years ago, or maybe up to 400, of course, 400 years mean when the 1611 was put into print. The Word of God was just found in little snippets in men's houses. It's something that we take for granted, the Word of God, but God has given it to us now. We have complete access to the entire Word of God. That is not something that should be taken for granted, not something that should be put on a shelf or put under a bed, stored away. It should be something that should be used in your life, used to help you, used to help others. That candle provides light not only for the owner of that candle, but for anyone he comes into contact with. It provides light. And that's what the Word of God, that's what our salvation, that's what all the blessings that God has been given to us should be doing in our life. It should be spreading light to those around us, helping us, but not only us, it should be helping others. We've been given the ministry of reconciliation. It says there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Are we fulfilling that ministry? Are we going out and trying to reconcile people? You know, reconciliation generally takes some time. It generally takes some effort. You're not going to reconcile to somebody if there's been a division between you and someone else. You're generally not going to reconcile that in just a 5-minute conversation, in a casual approach. It's going to take some work. It's going to take some time. But the Bible says, I have given you this to you. I have given you this candle of reconciliation. Now you're supposed to light it. You're supposed to put in the work and go tell others that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We've been given salvation. We've been given all these great gifts. And we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. Are we using what God has given to us? We have a great responsibility to use it. Again, the purpose of the candle was to give light to those around it, everything around it. The purpose of our gift. What is the purpose of these gifts that God has given to us? It is to help others. You know, Jesus gave John the Baptist, he set him up in John chapter 5. He talked about how he was a light. And again, you think about the life of John the Baptist, his sole purpose was pointing people to the Messiah that was coming. And that should be our sole purpose. Just like a candle's sole purpose is to give light, our sole purpose should be to let others know of Jesus Christ. and to let the ministry of reconciliation continue. So is your candle that God has given to you, is it doing what it was designed to do? Or is it put under a bushel? Yeah, it may be lit, but it's got something over the top of it so that it's not giving out the light that it needs to give. You light a candle and you put, let's say, like a styrofoam cup over it or some kind of cup, and it may give a little bit of light basically straight down as it's reflected, and that may help you as you're trying to move around, and you can see a little bit to move around in a dark room, but it's not going to help others. Your light needs to shine before men. There shouldn't be anything covering your light. Like sin would cover our light. It would tarnish our light. Like a dirty headlight. Yeah, the light is still shining, but there's so much dirt and filth, it's not helping anybody out. It's not letting cars that you're approaching know that you're actually there. It's not helping you as you're driving down the road. It's not going to enable you to see maybe danger in front of you because there's so much dirt caked over that headlight that it is no longer of use. And some people's light, they have lit the light, but they've got so much cover in their life that is covering that they can no longer be effective witness. Their light is not shining before men. The verse doesn't say, let your light shine. It says, let your light so shine before men so that they may see your your Father and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Again, I butchered that one. But you need to let your light shine before men, not just for yourself. It needs to be a light to everyone around you. What good is a Christian who hoards his candles? What is the purpose of a Christian? What is the purpose of the Christian life? It's to give honor and glory to God. And if when we start hoarding the candles, hoarding the things that God has given us, and we become that reservoir instead of that conduit, that aqueduct that can provide help to other people, when we start becoming that reservoir, we are now a worthless Christian. We're not fulfilling the very purpose that God has designed us to do, to tell others about Him. Just like a candle, when it's hoarded, is not doing what it is designed to do. It's not giving that light. When a Christian stops giving out that light, he becomes, what's the purpose of his life? It's going to be a misguided purpose. It's not going to be, he's not going to be effective in what he is wanting to do if he's not doing what he's designed to do. And you can think of a tool in that regard. How, yeah, you can hammer something in with a screwdriver, but it's not going to be very effective. It's not, you can turn screws with vice grips, but it's not going to be as effective as a screwdriver. A Christian can do certain things, but he's not going to be effective if he's not doing what he was designed to do. Christians were designed to bring honor and glory to God. That is our sole purpose. And when we no longer do that, we're just like we're hoarding it. We're hoarding all the things that God has given to us. We have a great responsibility. And God will hold us accountable here, as we'll see. So we have this great responsibility we see there in verses 21 through 23. And of course, at the end, Jesus gives a kind of a saying, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. So you better pay attention. Now we see a warning given in verse 24. Verses 24 and 25. And he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. And for he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Now again, before diving now into this second illustration, Christ calls attention to what he is about to say. He says, take heed what ye hear. What I have said before, you need to pay attention to. What I'm about to say, you need to pay attention to. Take heed to look at. Saying, look, you better pay attention. Not just hear it. How much better do we pay attention generally when our eyes are focused on someone who is talking to us? You know, and you think, definitely can think of the illustration of you're on your phone and someone's talking to you and you're just, yeah, as you're messing with your phone. You're not paying attention to what that person's saying. You are hearing them audibly, but you're not actually taking heed and looking at them. Look at what Christ is saying here. Focus your attention on Christ and what He has commanded us to do. Now that's what He's saying here before getting into the second illustration. So we need to know, or we need to figure out in our lives, are we truly taking heed to God's Word? As He has said, look, you need to take heed to what I'm telling you. We have a more sure word of prophecy, the Bible says in 2 Peter 1. And Peter went on to say that you do well if you take heed. It will do us good if we start to actually take heed to look at the Word of God, not only hear it, but actually look at it. Look at what it's saying, so that you know what it is actually telling you to do, rather than making an assumption based on a few snippets of what you heard. And that's sometimes what we do in conversations, and it doesn't work out too well if you're having a conversation with a spouse or with a parent or a child. It doesn't work out too well generally if you just try to assume what they were saying from just a few snippets of conversation that you actually caught, that actually penetrated into your brain. You need to focus on what Christ is saying. And again, we can hear preaching over and over, but if we never take heed to it, it will never change our lives. We can hear the same stuff. We can hear Pastor McGovern getting up here week after week and preaching the Word of God, preaching great truths found in the Word of God. But if we never take heed, it will never change our lives. And we can get 20 years down the road and you're like, man, I've been saved for 30 years, been sitting in this church for 30 years, but it doesn't seem like I've grown. Well, I wonder why. Maybe because you weren't taking heed to the Word of God. You weren't taking heed to the preaching that was being preached. You were just hearing it audibly, but you weren't actually paying attention. So Christ gives a warning. He's like, you need to pay attention to what I am telling you. We need to pay attention to what Christ has told us in the Word of God. Now, why is this important? Verse 24 there in the middle. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. God is measuring your life. God is measuring your life. He knows how much He has given out to you, how much He has measured out. And we acknowledge that. We say, yes, we know God is judging us. God is measuring out our life. But a lot of times we kind of tend to think, well, that's more for eternity when we get to heaven. And it's a little bit not quite as fresh on our mind. It's not as important to us. But look at the verse. God is measuring out your life right now. And how you handle what you have been given will determine if He will give you more or not. What measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. So He's measured out a certain portion to you. Maybe He's given you that salvation. Now He's waiting to see if you'll tell others about Him. Maybe He's given you an ability to sing. And He's waiting to see if you'll actually use your talents for Him. Maybe He's given you the ability to just go up and strike up a conversation with somebody. And He's waiting to see if you'll use that ability to tell others about Him. And until we actually follow through with what God has given us, He's never going to measure out anything more to us. He's going to say, look, you need to do well with what you have been given before I'm going to give anything more to you. That's a scary thought, that God is measuring out your life right now. We all want to know more of God. We all want to be closer to God, but maybe He's just saying, look, I'm not going to show more of myself to you because you are doing nothing with what I have already shown to you. I've already given you this great truth and you've done nothing with it. You're hoarding it. You're just like a reservoir of water and with no outlet. It does nobody any good. You need to be able to put that conduit to it so that you can help others with what you have been given. And a reservoir can only get so full before it starts flowing over. It won't hold more water. Just like just in our Christian life, we can hold so much. And so God's going to say, that's it. I'm not going to give you any more until you let some of it out. You disperse some of it out to help others. Christian who never gives out what he has been given will only receive a certain amount from God. We see that here in this passage. What measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. But God has promised, look, if you measure out, you start giving out to others, I'm going to refill it. You don't have to worry about running out of spiritual truth. This Word of God is quick and powerful, and it's inexhaustible to the human mind. We can never discover all of the truths of the Word of God, but sometimes we act like we're scared that we will, because we're not giving out what we know. So it's like hoarders are so scared they're going to eventually need that part and then, you know, no one will ever have it except for them. We treat the Christian truths that way sometimes. That I'm not going to try to use this, what God has given me, to help others because it's mine. It's my experience. It's the truth that God has shown to me that has helped me in my life. I'm not going to use it to help others. They have to go through what I went through to gain that truth. Well, maybe God let you go through that in order so that person does not have to go through that. because he knew that you could handle it, but that person cannot. And he's saying, look, you need to go tell that person so that they can have this truth that will help them in their life, that will help them stay close to me. And he's waiting for you to measure out what you have been given. But if we never do that, we're never going to receive anything more from God. If we wish for God to show us more from his word, that should be our prayer every day. Lord, show me something from your word. Maybe we should start actually using what we have been shown. Putting it into action. Joe Lemon and I talked about this here recently. How we can know, we can have this great knowledge, a biblical knowledge, but if we never actually put anything into practice, it does nothing. It doesn't make you a spiritual person because you can recite the Bible from cover to cover. If you never put it into practice, it's just like you measure, you memorize the dictionary. It may help you in some circles. You may be able to wow people with some fancy words or some biblical knowledge, being able to recite a whole chapter that'll wow somebody. But it doesn't actually help that person. It doesn't help you unless you actually put what is taught into practice. That's one of the reasons we need to take heed. God is measuring out our life. And he's saying, look, I've given you so much. You've got to do something with what I have given to you. You've got to disperse it. You've got to measure it out to others so that you can help others. You can be that light in the world. This is a warning that Jesus Christ gave. He says, look, you better pay attention to what I'm going to tell you. All right. Now, he had their attention. And he says, look, with whatever measure you meet, whatever measure you let out, it's going to be met again. It's going to be meet to you. And then unto you that hear shall more be given. If you're paying attention to the word of God, and this paying attention is not just, not an audible hearing that you can just say, yeah, I heard him say that. It's actually taking heed. You're hearing what the word of God is saying, and it's having an effect on your life. It says, unto you that hear shall more be given. If you want to know more of God, you want to get more truth revealed to you from God's word, sometimes God just waits for you to actually do something with the truth that you already have been given. So a warning given by Christ here. We need to remember this every day. This will help us live a Christian life the way we ought to live. If we remember as we get up in the morning, God's waiting to see what we're going to do with the truths maybe that he gives us in our devotions. He's waiting to see what we're going to do with what we have been given. And if you think about that, God is measuring your life right now, and it has consequences over the next day, over the next week. This is not just an eternal God is measuring out your works and he's going to judge you according to your works. This is right now. This affects your Christian life right now. How much God will actually show of himself to you depends on how much you mete out to others, how much you measure out to others. Are we focusing on that in our life? This has been a very convicting message to struggle with, to get through. And you know what? I've been in church 30 years. I have a vast amount of biblical knowledge, if you will. But how much of it am I applying to my life? How much of it am I actually using to help others out? Because I don't care enough about others to help them out. I don't care enough to put that conduit to my reservoir so that I can help others out. I'm just content knowing that I have a lot of biblical knowledge. Man, that gets you right back to pride. It seems like every sin, you can always trace it back to pride. All the biblical knowledge in the world does not make you spiritual, does not make you close to God. And Jesus is saying, look, God's measuring you out. What are you going to do? You got to take heed to the word of God. And now we see the response really of the two people, the two responses, only two responses that we have to this passage. Verse 25. For he that hath to him shall be given, and he that hath not from him shall be taken, even that which he hath. So we see the people who decide that they're going to measure out, those that get more from God, they're going to measure out, so God will keep giving them more. And that he that hath to him shall be given. He that hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that which he hath. So we'll focus first of all on the first man here, though, he that hath. The one that got it. The one that said, I'm going to take heed to the Word of God. I'm going to measure out. As God gives me truth, I'm going to be a light in the world. I'm going to measure out what God has given to me. And God's going to continue to give that person more and more blessings, more and more illumination. For he that hath, to him shall be given. As you continue to do that, you don't need to worry about running out of water. God's going to keep giving you those spiritual truths. It's like let's say a hose hooked up to a spigot. You turn the spigot on, it's a continuous source of water. And how much you can do with that, with all that water coming through, and that hose can be very, very effective in whatever you need it to be. Whether it be washing a car, whether it be watering the lawn. There's never any shortage because it's hooked up to a continual source. And that's the way we can be in our Christian life. We can be hooked into the continuous source, the Spirit of God. And we can constantly be giving out all the stuff that God has given. We can be giving out the gospel. We can be helping other Christians with different maybe troubles that they have in their life. And we don't need to worry about running out of God's truth. We're hooked up to the Holy Spirit. It's like a continual source that we can keep drawing from. We're never going to run out of water. The Bible says, Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. If we strive to give out what God has given to us, we're going to be filled with that Spirit. We're never going to run out of the Spirit of God when we keep on doing what God has commanded us to do, giving out what we have been given. Now, but think about it. If you're not hooked up to that source, turn the spigot off and you'll have some water in the hose. But if the water remains in the hose, it does nobody any good. It doesn't do the grass any good. It doesn't do the hose any good. It doesn't do whoever's using the hose, doesn't do him really any good if the water stays in the hose. And that's what those of us who decide, say, you know what, I'm not gonna take heed to the Word of God. I'm not gonna measure out what God has given to me. I'm gonna decide I gotta keep it for myself. Yes, I've been given so great a gift of salvation, but I'm gonna keep it to myself. I'm not gonna let others know about it. Doesn't do anybody any good. You're not fulfilling the purpose that God has for your life. If a hose is not distributing water, it's not fulfilling its purpose. Can it be used for other things? Yes. But it's not gonna be fulfilling the purpose. Again, if you wish for God to show you more, you must use what God has already given to you. So we see those that give out will have a continual source. He that hath, to him shall be given. But we also see the hoarders. He that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Now this again is another scary warning. Again, we see this in the parable of the talents. Again, you see the person, of course, and you guys know the story. And the one person who had one, he went and he hid his talent. He didn't use the talent that his master had given to him. And when his master came back, what happened? That man who had the one talent lost it. From him was taken even that which he had. Now again, we see that as a picture of the judgment seat of Christ. But it's also, again, with the context of what we're looking at here, how you measure out, it's going to be measured to you. It's something that takes place while we are here on this earth as well. If you do not use what God has given to you, God will sometimes just say, you know what, you're not fulfilling your purpose. I'm going to go ahead and take it back. Obviously, he will never take back salvation. That's already been promised, eternal life. But sometimes he'll take back some of those gifts that maybe he has given to you. Using the illustration, if you've been given the talent to sing, maybe he'll give some kind of physical ailment, maybe a throat cancer, to where you can no longer use that talent. He gave you a talent and he says, you need to use it for me. But if you don't use it, there's going to come a point where he says, I'm going to take it. I'm going to take back what I gave to you. He that hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he hath. In the book of Luke, covering the same verses here, in a parallel passage, it says, even that which he seemeth to have. And sometimes, man, we think we have it great, but we don't really know how perilous our situation is because we're not fulfilling God's purpose in our lives. So we think we have a great family, but man, sometimes it's going to come to a time when God's going to say, you know what, you're not using what I have given to you. And now I'm going to take it back. Whether it be actually taking back a loved one in death. Maybe God's going to say, look, you're not doing what I want you to do. And of course, we know that there is a sin unto death. We see that in the book of James. Sometimes he's going to end somebody's life because they're not measuring out what they were given. They're not using what talents God has given to them. They're not bringing honor and glory to God. It's this, our sole purpose. But what a sad place for a child of God to be. To be at a point where God says, you're useless. I'm going to take back what I've given to you. I gave you this so that you could do something with your life. You can have a purpose in your life, but you're not doing anything with it. You're useless to me. Who wants to be useless to God? I would think none of us would say, yeah, I want to be useless to God. But we would say that with our mind. We would say that with our words. But what are our actions saying? You know, I know, just speaking from personal experience, there's days where I'm like, you know, I don't really want to live for God today. You know, and if you asked me that, I would never say that. But that's what my actions are saying. That's really what I'm telling others around me by my attitude, by my word, by my actions, maybe by my lack of actions, saying, I don't want to live for God today. Some people do that day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. And God's going to say, look, you're not fulfilling your purpose. You're not measuring out what you have been given. I'm just going to take back what I've given to you. What a sad place for a child of God to be. Don't squander what you have. Think about all that God has given to you. Don't squander it. He's given you great opportunities to serve Him, to honor Him. Don't squander it. Don't say, you know what? I've reached this particular stage. I don't need to learn anymore. I've given out all my life. But I think I'm at a stage in my life now that I don't want to give out anymore. I'm good where I'm at right now. There's no limit given saying, well, God's not going to say, well, I guess you've given out enough for your life, so I'm just going to let you keep what you have, even though you're not measuring out still. No, He says, once you stop, man, that countdown starts, if you will. You got to keep measuring out what you have been given. Are you hiding your light under a bushel? Now, this is very symbolic of an unproductive Christian. We're supposed to let our light shine before men, or else our lives are useless. They're not going to glorify God, and that's our sole purpose in life. And again, remember, what you have been given in your life, that is not for your own advancement. That is not to make you look better in the eyes of others. That is not for you to feel better about yourself. What you have been given, God gave to you specifically so that you can use it in His service. Use it for His glory, for His honor. Use it to glorify God. Don't be an aqueduct. Don't be a reservoir. Be an aqueduct. Be a conduit. Don't hoard the truths of God. Disperse it abroad. And when you do that, man, God, man, your Christian life, I believe, will be so blessed when we get this concept down. That we need to be touching others with our lives. Letting our light shine before men. And God says, you know what? I'm going to keep giving you more and more and more. As you measure it out, I'm going to measure it back to you. But it all hinges on us. Are we going to measure out what God has given to us? All right. Let every head bowed, every head bowed, every eye closed.